Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory, honor, worship, and praise as we bow our hearts before you, Father. Your name is a sanctuary to us, Father. Your name is life to us, Father. Your name, O God, is our strong tower, Father. Your name, O God, is our dwelling place, Father. Your name, O God, is strength to us. Your name, O God, is every blessing to us, Father. In who you are and in all that you are, Father, you have blessed us far beyond, O God, what we appreciate, O God, at this time, Father. And we thank you for the privilege, O God, of being able to receive and realize of the abundance, O God, of what you have hidden in your name. And we pray that our hearts will be open to receive and realize the revelation of who you are and all that you are. We pray that you will communicate the revelation of who you are and all that you are into us in the spirit and life of Jesus. That you will establish the reality of who you are and all that you are into the inward parts of our heart, Father, in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring it to fulfillment in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you will bring into us an appreciation, O God, of the wonder of you. That your goodness will become a reality to us, Lord. That your goodness will be the basis on which we are transformed and changed. So we pray, Father, that in the nature and character of Christ Jesus, cause us, O Lord, to come forth in your image and in your fullness, Lord. We pray that you bless us with your name. That you enable us, O God, to function in your name. That you enable us, O God, to rise into the mount of the Lord, to take our positions, O God, in the secret place of the Most High God, under the shadow of the Almighty. And today, Father, as we look at your name as the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, El Shaddai, we pray that there will come within us a conviction, a confidence, O Lord, a passion, O God, to realize, O God, the reality that you are Almighty and All-Sufficient, the Lord God who is able, O God, to bring forth the impossible in our lives. For nothing will be impossible with you, Father. For nothing, O God, that you have written in your word will be withheld from us in the power of your name, Father. And as we seek you, as we seek your face, as we seek to unveil our hearts before you, Father, as we seek, O God, to receive, O God, of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus, we know that you will establish us in the reality that you are Almighty and All-Sufficient. And in this reality, we will live, move, and have our being. In this reality, O God, we will be able to do what would otherwise be impossible for us. We will be able, O God, to know and understand that the Creator God will create. The Creator God will bring forth change. The Creator God will unfold in us, O God, the impossible, Father. So, Lord, as we choose to walk before you, as we choose to walk before you in righteousness and holiness of the truth, we pray that you will circumcise our hearts so that we will come alive to the reality that you are Almighty and All-Sufficient, that you are the Most High God who has given us a position by grace before you, Lord. We thank you that that grace is manifested to us in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, every reality of your name is made alive to us, Father, because the Lord Jesus Christ is a living expression, O God, of who you are and all that you are. And through him, O God, you explain yourself to us, Lord. So we pray that everything that we receive and realize in your word, let it come forth, O God, in the spirit and life of Jesus. Let it come forth in the faith and love of Jesus. Let it come forth in the reality of his thoughts. Let it come forth in the realities of his character and his nature. Let it come forth in his witness and his testimony, Father, so that we will be able to see what we would otherwise be unable to see. That we will be able to know and to understand, Father, realities that we otherwise would not be able to comprehend, Father. Because in Christ Jesus, you are explained to our hearts, Father. In Christ Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, we receive the reality of who you are and all that you are. So bless us, Father, today in the reality that you are Almighty and All-Sufficient, El Shaddai. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are on the covenant names of God, and last week we meditated on the reality of God being the Most High God. And we looked at the name Yahweh Elyon, or El Elyon, right? The name of God as the Most High God. And last week we talked about covenant position, that God has a position for us in the Mount of the Lord. And we access this position in the Mount of the Lord from the hearts that God is creating within us. We are all called to receive and realize a clean heart. That clean heart comes to us as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 verse 3 says that he who sets his hope on the Lord Jesus will be purified even as he is pure. And that's the key to having a pure heart. Obviously, there are different levels of purity. And as the level of purity in your heart is manifested in Christ Jesus, you will find yourself coming alive to God more and more. You will come alive to all that God can be in your life, all that God can begin to do through your life. And it's all a heart reality. Always remember this. That's why the law of God declares that you shall love him with all of your heart. Right? Because God can only be seen from the heart. If the reality of God does not touch your heart, you can forget about the rest of it. That you are to love the Lord your God with your soul, with your mind, and with your strength. That the reality of God within you is a heart reality that will enable you to be strong in him in every way. So, please understand that the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to us is key to the unveiling of the name of God. You cannot come alive to the name of God in an intimacy except in and by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that is in and by and through Christ Jesus can only be opened to you by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the way in which the name of God unveils to us. So the reality of the Most High God is a reality that God means to develop in us forever. It's a reality God means to manifest within us. It's a revelation that will enable us to realize a position in God. It's not a static position, it's a dynamic position. And that secret place in the Most High God that Psalm 91 verse 1 talks about is a reality that grows and grows and grows as you come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the means by which you are established as sons of God. It's the means by which you are established in the authority of the living God. It's the means by which you have a position before God, a functional position before God. And in the reality of the Most High God, God is telling you that you will grow in him forever. You will keep on growing forever. That your destiny is to grow forever. Today we are going to look at the second covenant name of God. And the second covenant name of God is El Shaddai. And it's found in Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. A multitude of nations. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. El Shaddai, the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. And God tells Abraham this, that if you walk before the Almighty God, you will be blameless. And that's one of the most powerful expressions of grace that you will find written anywhere in the scriptures. God is telling you something that is amazing. He's saying that if you choose to walk before me, you will be blameless because I am Almighty. I can do with you what is impossible for you. But all you have to do is to choose to walk before me. And as long as you choose to walk before me, I will bring forth what is impossible for you. I will unfold the reality of you being blameless before me, because I can bring what is impossible for you to do. Praise the Lord. All right. So the Almighty and all-sufficient God does what you and I can never do. The Almighty and all-sufficient God does with you and me what you and I will never be able to do. And this is what God is opening to Abraham. And he says, I will make covenant with you. And I will make covenant with you because I am Almighty God. Because there is no way that any human being who is a sinner can make covenant with me. But because I am Almighty and because I am all sufficient, I can make covenant with you and I will multiply you exceedingly. A multitude of nations will come before you. I don't know what that means, a multitude of nations. A multitude of people, I've heard. Multitude of nations is something else, isn't it? God is talking about things far in the future. And today you and I come as Christians into the realities of being inheritors of the promises of Abraham. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, from verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring. Heirs according to promise. Heirs according to promise. Praise the Lord. Heirs according to promise. God will fulfill the promise. But in order to enter into this promise, you always need to understand that God is telling you, walk before me and I will accomplish the rest. Walk before me, no matter what the situation or circumstance, no matter how you feel, no matter how down you feel, no matter how weak you feel, no matter how helpless you feel. He's saying, never choose to walk outside of me. Choose to walk before me. Doesn't matter how many times you stumble and fall, but walk before me. And I will achieve the impossible. I will make you blameless. I will make you blameless. Simple thing, right? If you want to hear the power of grace, that's what it is, right? And that is a promise. In that simple statement that God told Abram, right? Walk before me and be blameless. It is a promise. If you walk before me, I will make you blameless. I will bring forth in you what you cannot do. Praise the Lord. And here you see that we are all brought into the reality of being Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise through Christ Jesus. Because only Christ Jesus could stand in that position to fulfill covenant with God. Christ means Messiah. Christ means Messiah. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Here Jesus talks to John, the apostle, and he says something very interesting. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. These are the words of Jesus that Jesus speaks to John. But he speaks to him as Almighty God. He speaks to him as Almighty God. Interesting, isn't it? He speaks to him as Almighty God. Praise the Lord. He speaks to him as Almighty God. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Here, the person who is sitting on the throne is called Almighty God, as the angels and saints worship him. And so it says in verse 8, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. So the reality of the Almighty God is open to us in Jesus Christ. It's made alive in us so that we will be a people who will be set apart unto God. We will be a people who will become inheritors of the promises God gave to Abraham. All right, let's go back to Genesis chapter 17. Let's continue reading. Out of the reality of this name El Shaddai, God Almighty, unveiled to us in Jesus Christ, God is declaring to Abraham in verse 3 or verse 2, I will make covenant with you, right? I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. All right? I will establish my covenant with you. Look at verse 7. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. So this covenant is based on the reality of God being God. God being God. God being God. Exalted, Most High, Almighty, All-Powerful, Omniscient, Omnipresent, Omnipotent God. Eternal, everlasting, the one who remains the same, unchanging, immutable, the God who says, I am a God of love, I am righteous, I am holy, I will be God to you. And this covenant will enable the realities of me being God becoming alive to you. That you will know me as God and you will live in the reality that I am God. You will be able to stand forever because I am your God. And this covenant I will establish with you. And he's going to do this because he is the Almighty God. He's going to do what would appear to be absurd, actually. How can God, who is perfect, make covenant with man who is imperfect? How can God, who is almighty and all-sufficient, make covenant with people who are so weak and in fact insignificant in ourselves? But God is saying, I will make covenant with you. Amen. Right? And the basis of covenant is simply this. You walk before me. You walk before me and I will make you blameless. And the reality of being blameless is a result of the covenant I will make with you. So the heart of this covenant is this reality of salvation. It is through salvation that God makes us blameless. It is through salvation that God transforms us and changes us and makes us become a people who are capable of being in covenant with him. Right? So it is a work that God undertakes to do in our lives. And it's very important to always understand this, because you cannot save yourself. God has to save you. That doesn't mean you do nothing. God is saying, you must choose to walk before me. But if you choose to walk before me, I will do with you what you cannot do. Make sense? Praise the Lord. All right? Now, how is God going to do this? Verse 9. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. Right? God now says that you have to keep this covenant. And that's going to be a problem, isn't it? How do we keep a covenant that is manifested in the status of who God is and all that God is? How can you and I keep covenant? Right? How can you and I keep covenant? And so God opens in verse 11 a reality that we need to understand. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. Verse 13. God then speaks about, thus shall my covenant, the last part of verse 13, thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. It's very interesting that in verse 11, God talks about circumcision of the flesh. And that flesh dies. But in verse 13, he says, thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. How can a covenant be in your flesh when your flesh passes away. So God is talking about two different realities. When he was talking to Abraham, he was talking about a sign of the covenant that was cut into the sexual organ of every male. All right? And that was the means by which he started to talk about the sign of his covenant. But by verse 13, he's already pointing out to something else that he will do, that will be, my covenant will be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And that cannot be on the male sexual organ, because your male sexual organ doesn't last forever. Right? We die in our flesh. Right? So what is God talking about here? Right? What is God talking about here? To understand what God is talking about here, we need to go on to the book of Deuteronomy. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And God suddenly produces another idea. He says, circumcise, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. He says, circumcise then your heart and stiffen your neck no more. Suddenly, he's talking about circumcision of the heart. Circumcision of the heart. Amen? Circumcision of the heart. He's not talking about circumcision of human flesh, but he's talking about circumcision of the heart. And suddenly we are beginning to see that there is a reality of circumcision that is not just a circumcision of the male sexual organ. God is already pointing to a reality that will be unfolded in the fulfillment of the law. Right? A reality that will be unfolded in the fulfillment of the law. What do I mean by that? God is talking about the time when he will manifest a human heart in purity. And that heart will be circumcised. Right? And he's talking about that pure heart that will be circumcised so that man can be in covenant with God. Alright? So this pure heart we see as being unveiled through the new covenant. Alright? The new covenant. Okay? And that new covenant is going to be unveiled as a heart that is circumcised by God. And that heart that is circumcised by God will carry the fulfillment of God's covenant. Alright? It's a process that God does with us. Alright? Let me first talk about the heart of flesh, right? That he wants to circumcise. Because he said in Genesis chapter 17 that he will circumcise your flesh, that the covenant will be in your flesh, and it will be an everlasting covenant. It will be an everlasting covenant. And this is talking about flesh. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Verse 26. God says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Give you a heart of flesh. Right? He will give you a heart of flesh. And this heart of flesh is going to be the means by which God is going to circumcise us and make us make covenant with us. All right? Make covenant with us. All right? So making covenant with us is a circumcised reality. All right? Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 2. The book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 29. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Right? So in the new covenant, God is pointing to this heart of flesh that Ezekiel prophesies about, that Moses alluded to, that God will, that we need to have circumcised hearts. So in Romans chapter 2 verse 29, he says that circumcision is of the heart by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So God is now telling us how he is going to fulfill this reality that he talked about to Abram, right? When he said, I will make covenant with you. And he's going to make covenant with us in a heart of flesh. Right? Which is one of the reasons why in this ministry we keep talking about the importance of you receiving the word of God in your heart. It has to be a revealed reality in your heart. Because as God works the revelation inside of you, he's going to circumcise your heart. And as he circumcises your heart, the reality of his word will become part and parcel of your being. And you will become the creation that God wants you to become. All right? What is God doing in this process of circumcision? Let's turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 11. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In him, that is in Jesus Christ, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. All right? I want to just focus on the removal of the body of your flesh. Right? What is your flesh he's talking about here? Your fallen man. All right? Your fallen man. And he's talking about the circumcision of the body of our flesh, the removal of the body of our flesh through this process of circumcision. And this is a process done by Almighty God. It is humanly impossible to consider such a process, but this is a process that is unveiled by Almighty God. And in this process, he does what you cannot do. I mean, the biggest problem we all have about walking with God is dealing with our flesh. Am I right? And here God talks about that you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. By the circumcision of Christ. Now let's come to the circumcision of Christ. What is the circumcision of Christ? Let's look at Luke. Chapter 2. Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus. Under the law of Moses, the firstborn, the male, was always circumcised on the 8th day. And he was given the name of Jesus just before he was circumcised. So the circumcision of Christ, right, is the circumcision by which, right, he defeated the flesh of men through the testimony that would be called the testimony of Jesus. All that is hidden in the name Jesus. Because all that the Christ did is manifested in something called the testimony of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 10, it says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now what we are talking about is prophecy. What God has promised to Abraham and how God is going to fulfill what he has promised. And all this is part of the prophecy. Right? All this is part of the prophetic. Right? The Bible is a prophetic book. It's a book of fulfillment. Right? When we started off on module 1, we said our basic understanding of scripture must be that scripture is to be fulfilled. Right? The scripture has to be fulfilled. That you must understand we're not reading a book written by men. We're reading a book written and penned by the Holy Spirit using men as vessels. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the testimony of Jesus unveils the name of Jesus. All right? And the testimony of Jesus is the basis on which God is going to establish covenant with you. Because through the testimony of Jesus, God is making himself known to you. You remember John 17 verse 6, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Now how does he manifest his name to us? He manifests his name to us through his testimony. Right? What do I mean by that? What is his testimony? The word that comes to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. We did that in the earlier modules, right? That the word of God that is communicated to you in the spirit and life of Jesus. The spirit component of that communication is the spirit of prophecy. It enables fulfillment inside of you. All right? So God is talking about circumcising us by the Holy Spirit in the reality of the name of Jesus. And in the reality of the name of Jesus is being cut into your heart. Is being cut into your heart through his testimony. And in that process, your fleshly ways are being uprooted and removed. And you are being made alive. Right? To a new reality. Are you with me? Okay? So Jesus Christ was circumcised on the eighth day and he was given the name of Jesus. Only in the unveiling of the name of Jesus can you die to your flesh. Only as you receive what is of the name of Jesus can you die to your flesh. You cannot die to your flesh just by fasting and then doing this and doing that. It can only come through the name of Jesus. If you fast in and by and through the name of Jesus, you will find that you will die to your flesh. But it is because of the revelation of Jesus in your heart. I will come to this to you because it is through the revelation of Jesus Christ that Almighty God works in us. So when the Holy Spirit circumcises you, he is always going to circumcise you in the testimony of Jesus. He's going to circumcise you in the testimony of Jesus that makes sense out of the name of Jesus. As you grow as a Christian, you will find that the name of Jesus means more and more to you as you grow. If it does not happen that way, you are not growing. Right? All you are doing is you're putting on a religion. And that's not going to save you. But if you are growing the way God wants you to grow, then the name of Jesus will be making more and more sense to you. The name of Jesus will be the basis on which you will come alive more and more to the Word of God. And you will see the Word of God as being something that is going to be fulfilled in your life and being fulfilled in the church and being fulfilled in humanity through the church. All right? All this may sound very deep, but you need to understand it's very, very simple, really. What God is doing is he's going to circumcise your heart by the Holy Spirit and unveil the name of Jesus inside of you. And when he does that, you will die to your fleshly ways. All right? So removal of the body of the flesh, which you and I cannot do. All right? So that is the circumcision. Okay? So don't look at this as being something... Oh, this is super spiritual. No, it's not. It's very basic to you, okay? It's very basic to your Christian growth. That God has to circumcise your heart and unveil the name of Jesus in that circumcision. That you will make sense of the name of Jesus. Because all things that you have from God are in that name. That's why Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name, it will be given to you. You can ask anything in my name, it will be done for you. Now God can only do something if it's the truth. So how does truth come into a person who is a sinner, like you and me? So truth comes into us through the work of the Almighty God. By the Holy Spirit, he unveils in us a process that is called a circumcision. And in this process, he cuts out of us our fleshly ways. And he does this by unveiling to us and perfecting inside of our lives a reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. A reality of the name of Jesus. And that's the only way you can be set free from your flesh. All right? Let's look at another verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3. For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus. Right? We worship in the Spirit of God, and when we worship in the Spirit of God, we glory in Christ Jesus, and our ability to worship in the Spirit of God and glory in the name of Jesus Christ is a result of our circumcision. So
So it says there that we are the true circumcision. Why are we the true circumcision? Because we are able to worship by the Holy Spirit and we are able to glorify the name of Jesus. And that is the hallmark of the circumcision that God has fulfilled in our lives. Makes sense? And he says, the result is, and put no confidence in the flesh. Put no confidence in the flesh of man. Your confidence is in God. Right? Your confidence is in God. Makes sense? Amen? So Almighty God opened a reality of grace to Abraham. And he said, walk before me and be blameless. So we choose to walk before God by choosing to live the name of Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we do it by the Holy Spirit. And God in turn says, I will then make you blameless. I will bring forth in you a process that is entirely supernatural. And this is the process by which you will be set free from the carnality of your own fleshly ways. I will give you a heart of flesh. And that heart of flesh I will circumcise in the name of Jesus. And as I circumcise that heart of flesh that I'm forming inside of you, right, you will be able to function more and more in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, this functioning in the name of Jesus is part and parcel of covenant. Because as you learn to function in the name of Jesus, you will find that God is opening inside of your heart a reality of covenant. The word that is being performed in the name of Jesus within you. And you can move in that. And that's when you begin to see people getting healed. That's when you begin to see answers to your prayer. That's when you begin to see that you can function in the strength and power, the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you begin to see these things manifest in your life. And you begin to understand, I indeed am a son unto God. Under the law, only the males were circumcised. In the fulfillment of the law, in the circumcision of the heart, there is no distinction between male and female. Because everyone has a heart. Amen? That's why in Galatians chapter 3, he says, Paul writes, there is no longer Jew or Greek or Gentile, slave or free man, male or female. All are opened to the blessings of God. Are you with me? See, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to walk together. When Eve fell, right? Then he judged Eve. And he made her subject to man. But in the fulfillment of the law, that slavery to man is being broken. Right? But that means by which that slavery is broken is through a circumcised heart. It is not by women's lib. Right? You can't burn your bra and get freedom. Alright? It has to be through circumcision of the heart. Alright? Alright? You can't get freedom by manipulating your husbands. Alright? And thinking that if you can con them, alright, you have got freedom. And you will find that you are in a bigger bondage than you ever were before. Alright? So you can only get freedom by circumcision of the heart. And the same thing appears to man as well. If you want freedom from sin, then your heart has to be circumcised by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So God has to form his covenant in your flesh. The flesh of your heart. Now what flesh is he talking about? He's not talking about the fallen flesh of our person, okay? Right? He's talking about the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what does that mean? Let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 verse 51. Let's read from verse 48. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. So what is the bread of life? The I am of Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? Right? So if you take the word of God and if you understand the word of God in the testimony of Jesus, It is unveiling the I Am of Jesus Christ. Alright? So thou shalt not steal is under the law. If you receive of the nature of Jesus Christ, it is going to be the fulfillment of the law, because the nature of Jesus Christ will never steal. Right? So under the law, you cannot be a fornicator, you cannot be a drunk, you cannot be this and you cannot be that. But in the nature of Jesus Christ, you will never do those things. That's the fulfillment of the law. So what has come inside of you? The nature of Jesus Christ. So the I Am of Jesus Christ has a nature. And the nature of Jesus Christ will make you change. It will make you do things you never thought you would do. When I first became a Christian, I said, how on earth am I going to give up my beer and my cigarettes, because I enjoyed it. So what did God do? He brought inside of me a new nature. And that new nature did not desire beer and cigarettes. Now the smell of cigarettes makes me sick. The smell of alcohol makes me sick. But there was a time when I used to drink it by the barrel. Right? So what happened? The nature of Jesus Christ did what I could not do. And that's the key. If you want to change in your Christian life, it has to be something that is of the I Am of Jesus Christ. If you don't receive of the I Am of Jesus Christ, you will never change. You can pray until the cows come in. If you are not focused on receiving and realizing of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will just become a super religious creep. Hard words. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he meant by that. Don't try and explain those words away. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he meant that absolutely. That's why it's very easy to see whether Jesus Christ is a liar or the truth. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So go and verify that by finding that out. Nobody else will dare say that, because it's so easy to expose that. But Jesus Christ actually said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to understand that only that which is of, that which is unveiled to us in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit will become the way, the truth, and the life to us. Amen? So it's very important to understand that. So here Jesus says in John 6:48, I am the bread of life. And then he tells them in verse 49, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. So this bread that I give is not like what they ate in the manna, the manna they ate in the wilderness. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. So this bread which I am giving you, this bread that comes out of the I Am of me, this bread you eat, you will never die. This bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread. Living bread. The bread that lives. The bread that lives is I Am. I Am is the name of God, by the way. When Jesus said in John 17 verse 6, I manifested thy name, this is what he is talking about. I Am. And the manifestation of the name of God through Jesus Christ is the living bread. All right? The living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. For the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. So this living bread is what is called my flesh. So when we talk of a heart of flesh, we are talking about his flesh. The flesh that is the living bread of his I Am. The word that is manifested to you in the testimony of Jesus. The word that is open to you in the reality of Jesus Christ. The word that is open to you in the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The word that is open to you in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word that is expressed to you in Christ Jesus. That word is the living bread. Are you with me? Amen. That word gives expression to Christ Jesus in your life. So that is the word that is going to form the flesh of your heart. So when Ezekiel said, God says, I will remove that heart of stone that you have and give you a heart of flesh, he's talking about the flesh that comes out of the I am of his name explained to us in Jesus Christ. Amen. So as he brings that word into us and forms that heart of flesh, he then, by the Holy Spirit, circumcises that heart so that the realities inside of the name of Jesus will come alive to you. And as the realities in the name of Jesus come alive to you, you are set free from your human fallen flesh. So, by circumcising your heart, if God releases the nature of Jesus inside of you, you will begin to realize desires and passions and thought processes that you never had before. Amen? What is in the name of Jesus is released into you in that process of circumcision. It is like God bringing into your heart a reality that you never had. So a reality that is hidden in God is open to you in the name of Jesus, and that reality sets you free from your fleshly ways. Are you with me? That's why Romans 8:2 reads this way. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The Holy Spirit has to reveal something of Christ Jesus into you, make it living inside of you, and you are set free from the law of sin and death. And that is what it comes alive in a circumcised heart. Amen. And this is the handiwork of Almighty God. So God does inside of you what you cannot do. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this from a different perspective. Another perspective that we have also read in the Bible. You remember Exodus 31 verse 18? God takes Moses into Mount Sinai and he gives him two tablets of the testimony. And Exodus chapter 31 verse 18 says that the tablets of the testimony were written by the finger of God. Correct? Written by the finger of God. Alright? Praise the Lord. If you go to Exodus chapter 32 verse 15 and 16, it says that the tablets were the work of God. And those tablets were written upon by God. Correct? So those tablets were entirely the work of God. You come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. God says through Paul the apostle that you are an epistle of Christ, or you are the letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts of flesh. I'm combining the New American Standard and the New King James Bible. All right? On human hearts of flesh. Are you with me? So the writing is done by the Spirit of God. But the writing that is done by the Spirit of God is the unveiling of the finger of God. So the finger of God, unveiled by the Holy Spirit, circumcises your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the substance of what God manifests in your as a heart of flesh has to be circumcised so that a covenant is written into your heart. You are a letter of Christ. Amen? Are you listening? And if you go down to verse 6, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, we are servants of the new covenant. The new covenant is written in your heart. Can you understand now why David wrote in Psalm 54, verse 1, save us, O God, by your name, and vindicate us by your power? That's precisely what God is doing. He's saving us. He's bringing into us a process that is a complex process. It's an entirely supernatural process. And in that process, he's doing inside of you a work that you can never do, or any one of us, or the all of us put together could never do. Amen. He's creating inside of you a clean heart, and he's also putting the right things inside of that heart so that that heart will function the right way. Amen. So you remember last week's teaching about rising into the mount of the Lord through your heart. So the Almighty God enables that process to come forth so that you can rise into the mount of the Lord and hold position by covenant in the mount of the Lord, to be able to stand in a position before God that God has fashioned and formed inside of you. Okay? Praise the Lord. So now when you pray in tongues, right, you're praying by the Holy Spirit. And if you are praying the word of God to be revealed inside of you, what is God going to do? He's going to take that word, release it into you in the spirit and life of Jesus, and then he's going to perfect that word inside of you. And when he perfects that word inside of you, he's going to circumcise your heart so that that reality will remain in you forever. So that that reality will grow in you forever, because God can circumcise your heart at many different levels. And as you grow in the Lord, your understanding of the same words of God will begin to increase and increase and increase. That means there is a greater circumcision. So under the law, circumcision was done on one day, the eighth day when the male child was born. In the fulfillment of the law, circumcision is a continual process. It will go on in your heart forever. Can you understand that? It will never stop, because God will keep on raising you into the mount of the Lord. Amen? And this applies to all of us. Whether you are smart or you're super intelligent, or you think you are not up to the mark, God is going to do this work, and he's going to make you a son unto him. And you're going to shine with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the heart of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That's why Ephesians 2:10 says, you are created in Christ Jesus, the workmanship of the living God. And you must read and understand scripture as what God is saying. Because one of the big mistakes we have made in the church is to reduce God's word to our level, our intelligence. And we've locked out the great work that God wants to do in the church. Because if the church is going to stand in the position that God wants it to stand in, there's a lot of work that God has to do with us. But we are not moving into it. We are still trying to live by principles instead of discovering what God has given us in the name of Jesus. And we end up chasing our own tails, going round and round in circles. One day we are up, the next day we are down. One day we are up, the next day we are down. We take 2 steps forward, and then we take 3 steps backwards, and then we take 3 steps forward, and then we take 2 steps backward. And it's like, you know, it's like we're not going anywhere. And the simple reason is because we are not willing to unveil what God has put in the name of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the Holy Spirit is charged with unveiling that testimony of Jesus. That we are so happy with just having gifts where we can just do our own thing. And we still haven't learned the lesson that you can't do your own thing. That the purpose of the gift is so that Jesus will fill all in all. We must understand these things. These are not deep things. These are just basic fundamental things that we must understand. If we could trust God to teach the church, as God says in his scripture, he will make all these things understandable to every man, woman, and child. Let us turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God. Isn't that what God told Abraham? Amen. I will make covenant with you and your generations, so that I will be God to you. So that you will understand that you are called to live in, by, and through God. There's nothing that you cannot do, because there's nothing that is impossible to your God. But everything that your God does is good. It is not dishonest, it is not corrupt, it does not cheat, it does not steal, it does not murder. It stands in justice and righteousness. Verse 33. And on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. Amen. I will make them know me. You see, we are still trying to train the church in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We are taking the methods of man and we are trying to make Christians. And the methods of man can never make Christians. Because the Bible says clearly and unambiguously that God will teach all of us. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 13. Isaiah chapter 54. Verse 13. And all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. In righteousness you will be established. You will be far from oppression, for you will not fear, and from terror, for it will not come near you. For all your sons will be taught of the Lord. All means all, isn't it? Did he say that you have to have 3 PhDs before God can teach you? No. All are to be taught of God. But that teaching process is not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is not of the education systems of the world. It is of the tree of life. It has to be written into your heart by the finger of God, in a process by which God circumcises your heart. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is not of the intellect of man. How do we train people in Bible school? We teach them just as you would do in pursuing a degree in a university. God is not talking about systems like that. We are afraid because we will lose control. Because once you give control to God and start telling people that they can receive and realize from God, you are no longer in charge. And we are afraid of that. Do you seriously think that we can do a better job than what God says He will do through His Word? Well, 2,000 years have gone by, and look at the job we have done. It is time for us to learn that people have to be taught by God. I'm not the only one who said this. Jesus also said this. John 6 verse 45. Verse 44 and verse 45. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Amen. So what did God tell Abraham? Walk before me and be blameless. Praise the Lord. Choose to walk before God. How do you walk before God? You walk before God according to the word that He has opened to you. So we start as babies. So we start with verses like, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will have eternal life or everlasting life." We start with simple words like that. But we must understand we can't be in kindergarten forever. We must go into covenant. The whole Bible talks about covenant. God brings His children out of the land of Egypt and He says, "I will make covenant with you." Why? How often have you heard the word covenant in the church? We are afraid of it. We think it's a theological exposition. It's not. It's something that God writes into the hearts of every believer. And every man, woman, and child in the kingdom of God has to have the covenant of God written into their hearts. And Jesus is the mediator of that covenant. That is the word of God. We need to understand that very clearly. But covenant is entirely subject to God. Now, part of that covenant is to change us. Because God cannot make covenant with a crook. So He has to change us. But part of the process of covenant is to save us, to change our character and our nature, our thinking processes. Part of the covenant of God is to make us have the mind of Christ. Is it not written in the Word of God that you shall have the mind of Christ? Amen. Let's look at a few more verses. What God wants to do with your heart. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 32. Verse 38. What does God say here? "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart." Hello. That He will give all of us one heart. Why one heart? Because it is all built in the flesh of the Lamb. It is one heart made in the same substance, the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because it is a heart fashioned in the bread of life, the living bread. Right? "I will give them one heart and one way." Jesus is the way. "That they may fear me always." Not be frightened of Him, but to reverence Him. All right? "For their own good and for the good of their children after them." You see, God says nothing good can come until I give you that heart, isn't it? We can't just have doctrinally trained Christians. Doctrinally trained Christians cannot stand and fight the devil. Only Christians who have a heart that God has created within them can stand and say, "I know God." And devil, get out of here. Verse 40, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." Each and every one of them. "I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them, to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts." Who will put it? God will put it in our hearts. "So that they will not turn away from me." So that they will not turn away from me. So why do we turn away from God? Because we are weak. And who can stop us from turning away from God? Only God can do it. That's what the Word of God is saying. Verse 41, "And I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul." So whose heart and whose soul do you want to trust? God says, "With all my heart and with all my soul." Now, is anything impossible for you? Praise the Lord. Let's look at another verse. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That he understands and knows me. What is God saying? Above everything else, it is I that matter. It is knowing me that is the real treasure of life. But let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Look at verse 25. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. What does he say? Those who are just circumcised in their own flesh under the law, and yet in their hearts they are uncircumcised. Amen. So we all have to be circumcised in our hearts. That's the only way you can change. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 and 20. Here the Lord says again, and I shall give them one heart, and shall put a new spirit within them, and I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them. So he says, if I don't give you a heart of flesh, you will not be able to do what I'm asking you to do. I have to give you that heart of flesh. Right? Then they will be my people and I shall be their God. Then they will be my people and I shall be their God. But the great wonder of all of this is that all this is achieved by grace. It is achieved by the power of the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. This is not achieved because I am smart, I am more anointed than you. It is all achieved by God. Nothing good will be withheld from you. Nothing will be impossible to you because nothing is impossible to the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, because He is your God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the reality of God being Almighty is very practical to you. You are only going to be what God wants you to be if you come alive to the Almighty God. Nothing will be impossible to this God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope this truth sets you free and enables you to understand. Yes, it will take time, but it will surely come forth. Amen. Let me just leave you with one more verse. I'm going to read this from the New American Standard. The New King James doesn't do justice to this verse. It's from Colossians chapter 1. It's one of those passages of scripture that I confess every day. From verse 9. The second half of verse 9. And this is what I pray, that I may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that I will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father. Joyously giving thanks to the Father because He has done something within me. Are you listening? Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Amen. But you must catch the next two words, they're very important. In all steadfastness and patience. Amen. In all steadfastness and patience. It will take time, it will take years. Hello? It will take years. But if you are willing to wait and allow, you know, when I say it will take years, it doesn't mean you're going to be sitting under a mango tree for years. All right? It means that you will be walking before the Lord for years as He does this project inside of you. In fact, it's going to carry on forever. But what you need to understand is that He will take you stage by stage, step by step. He will take you process by process, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, and He will do the molding inside of you. Just be subject to Him. Don't be in a hurry. If God says it needs 10 years, it needs 10 years. You cannot argue with God. He knows more than you and me. Actually, He knows absolutely more than you and me. So there's no point telling Him He doesn't know what He's doing. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for Him. So far it's taken 12 years. Right? But He's brought me somewhere in that 12 years. But I wish I would be somewhere else. Right? But God knows what He is doing. And He always keeps reminding me, just wait. Right? I know what I'm doing. Why don't you just trust me? But it doesn't mean I sit down and do nothing. Right? You do the things that God has opened to you. But you wait for Him to graduate you to higher levels and higher levels. Let Him do the promotions. All right? If we can, in the human system, wait for promotions, why is it that we run ahead of God when it comes to God? When you know that in God that promotion will 100% come, nobody's going to cheat you out of that promotion. In the human system, yes, everyone's trying to put something knife somewhere, I say. Right? But in God's system, the promotion will 100% come. You don't have to sit down and think about it. Right? I have blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, says the Lord. But I have blessed you in Christ Jesus. And that you better remember. Right? We always remember, oh God, I thank you for blessing me with every spiritual blessing. We leave the in Christ Jesus part of it out of it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hello. Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. But we remember that I can do all things. Right? But it has to be through Christ who strengthens us. No shortcuts. If that takes 5 years because you're a stubborn ox, so it takes 5 years. If you're an even more stubborn ox, it may take 20 years. Right? So, but it's necessary. Right? It's necessary. You can't hurry the process because you cannot hurry God. If you figure one out, tell me about it. God will do what He wants to do in His time. And we can kick and scream and shout and complain and get depressed, and He will still take His time. Hello. You will shorten the process of those changes by cooperating with God. Praise the Lord. So remember, you walk before the Almighty God and He is all sufficient. So walk before Him and be blameless. Alright? Very simple process. He's telling you that the key to being sinless is to just choose to walk before God. You know, if you sin and you stumble, turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, I blew it. This is the 9,718th time. But let's get on with it, Lord. Right? But you will find out for the first time you stumble to the 9,000th time, He has changed you. You don't stumble the same way. Maybe it takes a lot more to stumble you now than it used to. Right? So there is progress. Right? Praise the Lord. But God will succeed. God cannot fail. Amen? So if you can see your Christian life as being unveiled from God, you cannot fail. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that you are the Almighty and All-Sufficient God, El Shaddai. That as we choose to walk before you, we will surely be unveiled as being blameless. A people set apart unto you, Father. A people in whose heart you will unveil a covenant, Father. And that covenant will be manifested in circumcised hearts. And the realities of this covenant that you fashion and form within us will be circumcised realities. Circumcised realities that put no confidence in the flesh of man. Circumcised realities that function by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. And Father, when we are circumcised, we will truly remain circumcised forever, Lord. And we want to thank you and bless you for the heart that is circumcised by your Spirit. We want to thank you for the covenant that is mediated by the Lord Jesus. We want to thank you that he ever lives to intercede for us. We want to thank you that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. We want to thank you, Father, that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. Teach us to understand that the Lord our God is intimately involved with everything that takes place within us. O God, there can be no greater love than this, O Lord. So we bless you and thank you for being the Almighty and All-Sufficient One. We thank you for unveiling Jesus Christ to us as the Almighty and All-Sufficient One, Father. And we thank you for unveiling the Holy Spirit to us as the Almighty and All-Sufficient One. And we thank you, Father, that you sit on your throne as the Almighty and All-Sufficient God. And all of the heavens and the earth bow before you, Father, because you are the Almighty, the Holy God, who reigns forever and ever. We bless you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.